From the beach, they faintly heard the sound of an alarm over the rumble of the generators and the cavitation hum. Evans looked around. Where's it coming from?
It must be from the ship over there.
Out on the beach, the men heard it too. They were standing in pairs by the entrance to the tents, pointing, wondering what to do. And then, from the jungle behind them, a sudden burst of machine gun fire opened up. The men on the beach were alarmed now, swinging their guns, looking this way and that.
"Screw it," Jennifer said, taking Evans's rifle. "This is it. It won't get any better."
And firing, she ran out onto the beach. The crocodile had charged Kenner with frightening speed. He had little more than a glimpse of huge white jaws open wide and thrashing water before he fired with his machine gun. The jaw smashed down, just missing his leg. The animal writhed, twisted, and attacked again, jaws closing on a low-hanging branch. The bullets hadn't done anything. Kenner turned and ran, sprinting down the stream bed. The croc roared behind him. Jennifer was running across the sand, heading for the nearest tent. She went about 10 yards before two bullets struck her left leg and knocked her down. She fell onto hot sand, still firing as she fell. She saw the guard at the entrance to the tent drop. She knew he was dead. Evans came up behind her and started to crouch down. She shouted, "Keep going! Go!" Evans ran forward toward the tent. On the ship, the men halted the descent of the submarine, stopping the winch. Now they could hear the gunshots coming from the beach. They had all rushed to the starboard side of the ship, and now they were looking over the railing, trying to see what was going on. Sanjiang went down the deck on the port side. No one was there. He came to the cabin. There was a big board there, dense with electronics. A man in shorts and a shirt was crouched over it, making adjustments. At the top of the board were three rows of lights, marked with numerals. The timing board. For the undersea detonations. Sarah and Morton were sprinting along the edge of the beach, staying close to the jungle, as they headed for the second tent. The man outside the tent saw them almost at once, and was firing bursts of machine gun fire at them. But he must have been very nervous, Sarah thought, because he wasn't hitting them. Branches and leaves snapped all around them from the bullets, and with every step they were getting close enough for Sarah to fire back. She was carrying Morton's pistol. At 20 yards, she stopped and leaned against the nearest tree trunk. She held her arm stiffly and aimed. The first shot missed. The second one hit the man outside the tent in the right shoulder, and he dropped his gun in the sand. Morton saw it and left the forest, running across the sand toward the tent. The man was struggling to get up. Sarah shot again. And then Morton disappeared inside the tent, and she heard two quick gunshots and a scream of pain. She ran. Evans was inside the tent. He faced a wall of chugging machinery, a huge complex of twisting pipes and vents, ending in a flat, round plate 8 feet wide, set about 2 feet above the surface of the sand. The generator was about 7 feet high. All the metal was hot to the touch. The noise was deafening. He didn't see anybody there. Holding his rifle ready, painfully aware that the magazine was empty, he swung around the first corner, then the second, and then he saw him. It was Bolden, the guy from the Antarctic. He was working at a control panel, adjusting big knobs while he looked at a shaded LCD screen and a row of dials. He was so preoccupied, he didn't even notice Evans at first. Evans felt a burst of pure rage. If his gun had been loaded, he would have shot him. Bolden's gun was leaning against the wall of the tent. He needed both hands to adjust the controls. Evans shouted. Bolden turned. Evans gestured for him to put up his hands. Bolden charged,